good to be here tonight. We had a lot of people sick, and it was pouring down, raining and thundering. And they said, "Preacher, ain't but a couple be able to come." And they said, "Let's just call it off." I said, "Okay." I mean, if they can't make it, I mean, I don't blame them. That's between them and God. But I knew where I was coming. I was going to church. Either there or here, I was going to church. And God help us down there. We need a lot of help. And God has blessed us. God blessed this morning, blessed in the service. And you know, when you preach a message sometimes and you think, you know, well, is this a flop? And then somebody comes around and tell you, "Preacher, that's the best message I ever heard."
Amen.
I mean, yeah, it was one of them. And it just picked me up and it just blessed me to think, you know, when I think, I mean, I'm nothing. I can't do nothing. It's not in me, but it's in God.
Yeah.
And through the Lord, things can be done and souls can be saved and things can be moved. I got a little message. Is that all right? Okay. If you have Bible, turn over to Philippians 4, verse 8. I got this message here, and it's kind of burning in my heart to preach. And Philippians chapter 4, and verse 8.
Yeah.
And I'm glad God's good to us, and God takes care of us. And me and Pat went off for our 48th wedding anniversary Thursday, and we had a good time, stayed Thursday night, and God blessed, and I'm glad of that. 48 years is a long time. But when you look back on it, it don't seem as long. But when you look forward and think, you know, if you look back from then to now, you say, "Man, that's a long time." But it don't seem like. But anyway, over in Philippians 48, 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things that are true, whatsoever things that are honest." Wait a minute. Okay, let me start over. Lord, my eyes messed up. So, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just. This ain't the message I want to preach. Hang on. We get it right here in a minute. And devil ain't going to get me down. I don't care. I know what the Lord told me to do. And, so over in Isaiah 40, verse 31. See, that's how the devil tries to mess you up. And now, years ago, I would have turned red and crawled under the table. But not like that no more, Lord, thank God. God has helped me from that. All stuff like that doesn't bother me anymore. I preached that this morning when I was reading. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. And there we go. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Lord, I thank you, God, for this message. God, and I know that Satan tried to mess me up. Thank God, Lord, I've got you with me always, and you help me try back the opposing powers of hell just like you did, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you might use me for the glory of God tonight. I pray you'd bless each and every one here. God, I pray the Holy Ghost will come through and speak to hearts and just help us, God, at a time we need help and we need lifting up instead of kicking down. I thank you, God, for all that you've done and all you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. He says here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait upon the Lord. You know, that's what the problem is. People, we don't wait upon the Lord. A lot of times you make mistakes and you mess up in your life because you didn't wait on the Lord. You jumped and done stuff that you wanted to do yourself just because you wanted it. And I've done that before. If I'd have just waited on the Lord and let the Lord make things take place in my life, you know, it would have happened. But this afternoon, I want us to look at a life to the fullest. I want us to just look at how we can have a life to the fullest and how you can rise above all the temptations and the trials and the nuisance of this life and how to we can overcome this world. Yeah. I mean, you all the time got some kind of problem, something popping up and messing you up. You know, there's nothing worse than a gnat. A gnat will drive you crazy, and I can't stand them. And out there in the summer when they plant them tomatoes, and them gnats, how they get in the house, I don't know. But them gnats, they get in your house, and they'll drive you crazy. Yeah. You be watching TV, there went a gnat. Whatever you're doing, doing that. But I'm telling you what, that's a nuisance. And that's the way this life is to me. This world is a nuisance. As things happens and things goes on, and I get so tired of it. I get tired of all the things that the devil puts before you, and that I'd like to just be able to overcome these temptations and the devil puts before you and to trials and tribulations. I'd like to overcome it. Over in John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world. That gnat, he might drive me crazy and drive me crazy, but I tell you what, sooner or later, he's going to make a mistake and got him. I overcome him. Thank God. That's the way it is. The Lord overcomes your tribulation and trials in your life and the things that are bothering you, and he overcomes them and gets rid of them. Yeah. But you got to wait on the Lord. I don't kill that gnat the very first swat. Once in a while, maybe. But I tell you what, there's times, you know, they just drive you crazy. Or you be outside and a mosquito be out there working and flying around. And I might get him. He might be full of blood, but I get him. But that's the way it is. I mean, you've got to wait on the Lord. Don't go jumping ahead on the Lord. You wait on God. And that's what the problem with people, young people, when they want to get married, they don't want to get married, and they go around and they get ahead of God. They don't wait on God. Then they get the wrong person. Then next thing you know, you got a divorce, and then they separate, and then trouble. I'm telling you, you need to wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Don't jump ahead of him. Don't sit behind him. Stay with him and wait on him. Wait on him to come and tell you what to do and put you in the path of righteousness where you can walk and go and do as he'd have you do. You come down here because you waited on the Lord, and the Lord sent you down here, and the Lord blessed you. I done what I done and took that church down there because I waited on the Lord, and God put me down there. I'm doing what God told me to do. And I pray. But God sends you places and does things with you in your life because you can wait on him. But you get ahead of him, you're not going to be in sync. You get it. You know, a lot of times when you're reading a book, well, I don't ever read very many books except the Bible. But you know, I get ahead of myself and want to see what's going on. So I go over there and see what's taking place. You know, then you miss what happened in the middle. Or you get to see a movie there, and a movie's on, and now you got fast forward. I think, well, wonder what happened. So you run it up. Well, you missed everything. And that's the way it is in life. We don't wait on the Lord. Yeah. If we'd wait on him and let him come in our life and help us, and he'd overcome this world and Satan, and wouldn't have to put up with Satan because the devil would take care of him. And then And John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's greater than this world. The man, the one inside of me is greater than this world. If you could just fathom that, and if we could just get it in our minds, in our hearts, we don't have to do it right now. We don't have to go over here. We don't have to go over there. We don't have to. We got to wait on the Lord. And when the Lord says move, move. When the Lord says go, go. Don't get ahead of him.
Right.
Too many times we get ahead of him. And then wait on the Lord. The Lord is to stop all, when you wait on him, that's to stop all activity. All activity in your life, you got things going on and it's just crazy in your head and it's got you all messed up, and just quiet yourself. You need to quiet yourself. Get quiet and get focused on him. Nobody else. Get focused on him. I mean, have you got alone and you get a focus just on Jesus Christ in your prayer room, and you get in there and you get to praying and there's nobody around and if it's too noisy, find you a quiet spot and get in there and pray and seek God, and God move in with you because you're focused on him. Brother Jonathan, you're not focused on no one else. You're focused on Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost comes in and you can have fellowship with him. Why? Because you wait. Don't just get in there, and if he don't show up in 2 minutes, stay in there until you get focused and stay right there on the Lord and wait on him to come. You got to wait. We're too impatient. We don't wait. People don't wait. You come down the road, I come down the road and I'm sitting at a stoplight, and just because I didn't hit the gas and go this morning, somebody, man, blowing horn. I told Bell, what the heck's wrong with them people? I mean, they didn't give me time to move. She said, I reckon they want you to get out of the way. People are so impatient, so impatient. I mean, they get up behind you. I'm coming down the road. I mean, it's 70 miles an hour going down 485. I'm running 85, and the good Lord, they ride on my bumper pushing me. I said, why the heck with this? I just take my foot off the gas and just drop down about 70. Oh, man, they're all over you then. And then they want to come flying around you. I said, thank you. Hey, you want to go, you go.
Yeah.
It's just people are impatient. You're the same way. You're impatient. I'm impatient. Yeah. I get mad and I gripe at people. Are you stupid idiot? Why don't you get them? I can't help it. And you get mad, but you get impatient and you want to go. You want to go, go. But it's a funny thing when it comes to going for the Lord. We don't get in a hurry on nothing else. And we don't get in, we want to do what we want to do and get on down the road, but we don't want to do for God. We lag behind, is what I'm trying to say. We get so caught up in this world. And this world just ties us down. And you can't expound. You can't really get full of God and just really just do shit. I mean, there's some of you probably, if God get a hold of you and you start shouting, you probably wouldn't quit for 30 minutes. But you're so wound up, so tight, and see, you can't cut loose. You wouldn't dare cut loose shouting. I mean, why not? They're screaming in hell and they're shouting in heaven. You better get one way or the other. I mean, thank God I'm tuned up now. Hallelujah. I praise God. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb of God. And I want to go there and I'm going to praise him. And that's one thing I'm not going to be short of and miss out on. I mean, you're waiting on the Lord. You wait on the Lord. And the definition by the context of this word, wait, consider John 5:3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. We know this is talking about the impotent man over there at the five porches. And he's there. And he's waiting. I mean, you think you got something in your life you want, and you want it so bad. Well, turn over here to John 5:3. I mean, we've all read this, but it gets me how impatient we are. But this man here, It says in 5, it was start with verse 1 in chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and the Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of infinite folk. I mean, withered. It's a, you know, they're crippled. It says they're hauled and blind. They're waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole. And whosoever and whatsoever disease he had, a certain he was made whole. And man, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And that man been there 38 years. I'd say he'd been waiting. He'd been waiting for quite a while. And here we get things in our life that we want to take place. We want it done tomorrow. This man waited 38 years. And it said, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that he sees in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man whether when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Here this man was wanting to get in that water. For 38 years now, he sat there, and I think about it, and watched that water, waiting. I mean, he's got his eyes fixed on that water, and he's just waiting, and he's not moving. He's totally concentrated, and he's undivided attention, and he's just in quiet. He's enduring, he's patient, waiting. Yeah. He's waiting. And then the water starts to move. And here he can't get up. He can't move or nothing. And he's wanting to get in, and trying to get in. And he can't get in. Somebody gets in the pool, and they get healed. 38 years he sat there. 38 years he sat there. Some people in this life are lost and undone without God. But longer than that, I seen a man 80-something years old get saved one time. Thank God I got saved. When God saved me, he saved my soul. But I didn't have to wait that long. But I'm telling you, he's waiting there. And Jesus come by. Thank God when Jesus comes by. When Jesus come by, he said, what's wrong? He said, well, I ain't got nobody to put me in the pool. And he told him to rise up and walk. Hallelujah, I'm glad he didn't have to wait no longer. He had waited 38 years to get healed, to be able to walk, and Christ healed him in 2 seconds. I think, ain't that somehow, if you wait on God and quit trying to do everything in our own time and quit trying to go around and outdo God and get it done faster and wait on the Lord. Yeah. Look how great a testimony this guy had. I mean, he got up and walked. He got up and walked. And he went on his way. And then he'd get renewed. He was renewed. And in Psalms 51:10, it created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We need that right spirit. We need to be renewed. Renew means to be restored and have a new faith and just be able to go on new for the Lord. And it seems like people today, they just... you can't wait on the Lord. And they try to get renewed and they fall back down and can't get up. A new beginning, need a new beginning, a fresh beginning. You say things are stale in my life. Well, get a new beginning. Get down, you and God, and just talk to the Lord and let the Lord come in and take charge, and just like stepping in that water and being healed, and get a new beginning in your life and have a fresh, new feeling come and fill yourself with the Word of God and go on for the Lord. It ain't no time to quit now. I mean, we're too close home. I mean, And then get up, not downward. Get up, not downward. You know, I heard this story, and you probably heard it too. You're going to hear it again. But there's a farmer walking through the woods, and he found this little eagle. And he took his little eagle, it was hurt, and he took it home with him from the forest, and he put it in a chicken pen. And here's that great mighty eagle in a chicken pen. And he's in there, and the farmer takes care of him, feeding him cracked corn and, you know, just junk off the ground like a little chicken. And he eats that. And a ranger comes through, forest ranger, and asks the man, he says, "Why you got that great eagle in there with them chickens?" He says, "Well, I found him down here hurt, and I didn't know what to do with him, so I put him in here and raised him with the chickens." Then he raised with a great and mighty, about a few months back, there was that bald eagle out in my backyard. Never seen one in 40-some years we lived there in my yard. I didn't even know there was around here, but that there was one there. And but that chicken, that eagle, he wasn't no longer in the outdoors. He was pinned up like a chicken. And see, I'm afraid that's what's wrong with us. The devil has got us pinned up. I mean, we're free in God. Yeah. We're free. We got that mighty eagle in us. But we're caught up in a pen with chickens, eating chicken, cracked corn, and eating junk and no worms off the ground. And we're not taking the things of God. We're not eating what God has given us. We're not waiting on the Lord. We're still hanging around in the chicken pen. And I'm telling you, I don't like being in the chicken pen. I want to be up there with the eagles. And they took this ranger took him and this little eagle, and he lifted him up, and he let him go, and he goes down to the ground and goes right back to the chickens. And you think about it, that's the way a pig is. You can take a pig, and you can wash him all up, clean him all up, pin a ribbon on him, and you let him loose, and he'll go right out there and get in a mud hole and waller. Because he's a pig. A pig's a pig. But here, this little eagle, that ranger took him, and he took him up a little higher on top of the house, and he let him go, and he falls back down and on the ground. I mean, it's big enough now, the fly that eagle is, but it's still one of the chickens. It went back down there with the chickens. It's down there eating with the chickens. We're eating with the chickens. We're eating with the world. We're not doing our best. We're not doing what God has put in us to do. We got more in us that we can be doing for the Lord rather than eating with chickens, rather than being sitting down there in that chicken pen and walking around instead of being sounding like an eagle and clucking like a chicken.
Yeah.
And here he took him, that ranger took him, and he took him up on a mountain, up on a high mountain. And he took that eagle and got him up there. And when had him up there, this big eagle comes soaring by. He had caught the air, and he comes soaring by. And this ranger had, looked and saw that eagle flying. And then by that time, he started, the Holy Ghost. he started flapping his wings a little bit. And then about that time he got a full swing.
Yeah.
And then by here he went. He lifted up to that eagle that was soaring in the sky.
Yeah.
And he raised up and went up with him. And then he wasn't going to be eating no cracked corn junk no more. He was going to be eating meat. He's going to have meat to eat. Thank God I got meat to eat from the Word of God. But you got to be like that eagle, and you got to soar in the sky with the power of God and get in this book and get out of this book what God's given to you to get out of it. Quit playing around with the chickens. Quit walking around being plucked on. You ever seen a chicken, other chickens start pecking on him, and they just peck him all to pieces? Thank God I'm glad. Thank God I'm up there with the eagles, flying with the eagles and soaring with them. I'm not down there with the chickens.
Amen.
Don't want to be in the the chicken pen. Chicken pen's nasty, dirty, stinky. I want to be up there flying with God and be able to do what God says do and go where he says go and wait on him and for the command where to go and what to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
God. This eagle, he didn't look by him. He looked around, but he didn't go back to the chickens. He stayed with the eagles. And I tell you what, if you study the eagles is an interesting thing. I mean, we seen it or the other day or heard about it. Me and Pat was talking about or listening to it. They'll take a mama, take the baby eagle, and they'll fly way up high and have it on his wings, and then drop it and to learn it to fly. And that eagle will fall, and the mama will swoop under it and catch that eagle. And it'll do that till that eagle flies. I mean, you think of that. That's how I am. I'm up there trying to fly. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, and God takes me up, and I'm flying. And about that time, he drops me. Then I lose my balance. I can't start falling. And you're falling, you don't know where to go. And you got tribulation and trials, and you just kicked around every way by this world. And then by that time, here comes, you look like you're going to hit the ground, and the Lord just pick you up. Hallelujah, I'm glad I'm in the arms of God. I'm glad I'm riding on his wings. Thank the Lord, one day I'm going to ride right out of here. I'm ready to go home. I don't care if it's right now or in the morning or when the Lord gets ready. I'm waiting on him. I've been waiting for 46-7 years. Thank God I can wait some long more. Hallelujah, I'm ready to go, preacher. I want to go home. I want to see the one that died on the cross, who shed his blood, who gave it all for me. He didn't give me nothing back. Brother, he gave it all for you. Every drop of blood he shed was for you and for me.
Yeah.
And he ain't going to leave nobody behind.
No.
Not if they want to go, he's not.
Right.
Hallelujah, I'm glad. I want to soar high.
Right.
I want to get high. I like to get so high. And people think I'm plumb crazy. I mean, they do this junk, all this junk in this world, the day that you see. And people think, oh, man, they're great. And they're lost and going to hell. And then you get somebody who loves God and is preaching the word of God. And they think, oh, he's a nut. He's a cult. You know, he's something wrong with him. And he put him in the crazy house. And all he's doing is preaching the word of God. Out there, a good preach on the street, and they come out there and want to lock you up. But you can get out there and let your pants ride down to your knees and everything else and anything wicked and vile. They get out there and do it on the street. But get out there and preach or pray, and then they want to lock you up. For we're in a time when they call good evil and evil good. We're in that time, them last days, buddy. I tell you what, I thank you, preacher. I tell you what, let's soar. Let's soar with the eagles. Let's get in a tight place and start getting close to God and where we can get up and soar high. I mean, get in a prayer life. We're just playing. I'm just as bad as anybody else. You go to pray. You don't really pray. You're just down there with the chickens. You're just clucking around with the chickens. You're not praying. Praying is getting a hold of God and getting up in the air and rising high with the Lord and the Lord listening to you and just you and the Lord are flying around. It's such a great thing when God takes over.
Yes.
This quick clucking around and being a chicken and let's get up and be what God would have us to be.
Amen. Amen.